beaten on the approaching enemy, he told himself that he was ready for this. Illidan studied the distant demons. At the moment, they were merely remote shadows thrown upon his mind by their auras of power. Their numbers dwarfed those of his own force. It did not matter. Magic would decide this battle. Fell energy swirled around him. He resisted the temptation to reach out and draw upon it. He ran his hand over the wound that Arthas had given him. It tingled as if some small part of the Lich King's evil blade, Frostmourne, was still lodged in it. He moved his fingers away to avoid being reminded of his previous defeats. Now was not the time to dwell on such things. Illidan sensed the nervousness of his troops, felt their inner battles. His smile became a snarl. His followers were like hounds sensing prey. He had shaped them to be so. Now was the ultimate test. Now he would find out whether all the centuries of planning had paid off. If this force failed him, he would die, and all his millennia-long designs would come to naught. That was not going to happen. They were not going to fail at this last hurdle. He had schemed too long to let that happen. He expanded his awareness. The wave front of his magically extended senses swept over the approaching enemy. Within a heartbeat, he had counted their numbers. There were scores of dreadlords, all with their own retinues of hundreds of fellhounds and infernals and every other manner of demonic creature. They are strong, perhaps too strong. The thought nagged at him. He shook his horned head. He flexed his wings and caught the updraft of air sweeping the cliffside. "You have miscalculated, and not for the first time." No, he could not be wrong. He was ready. His force was ready. The enemy was almost upon them. The demonic army flowed across the alien landscape, an unstoppable tide intent on swamping the ridge on which Illidan waited. The huge dreadlords stalked amid their companies of lesser demons. Their enormous bat wings fluttered even though there was no wind. Their horned heads turned as they surveyed their surroundings for foes. The glowing runes on their armor marked their status as much as the size of their retinues did. Evilly beautiful succubi cracked whips and flexed tails and danced lasciviously. Scuttling fellhounds sniffed the air as if they sought prey, censer stalks twitching, shark teeth gleaming. Armored fellguard brandished huge axes as they awaited orders from their commanders. Towering, six-armed Shivara shimmered on the edge of Illidan's perception, near invisible even to his keen senses. These were soldiers of the Burning Legion, the force that had devoured worlds beyond number. They were intent on reducing the entire cosmos to smouldering ashes in the name of their master, Sargeras. Illidan stood apparently alone. His force remained concealed. It would be revealed when he was ready and not before. The gate he had opened on the surface of this barren world drew his enemies. They had come to punish whoever dared transgress upon their realm. It was not often anyone carried the fight within the borders of the Burning Legion. In all his long lifetime, Illidan could not think of more than a handful of such events. The army came to a halt on the plain below. The greatest of the dreadlords raised a clenched fist, then pointed at Illidan and laughed. His evil mirth echoed across the landscape and was echoed from the throats of hundreds of other dreadlords. Their mockery was obvious. Some of them might have thought the joke was upon them. They had mobilized an army to confront this single figure. Illidan crossed his arms over his chest and flexed his wings to their greatest extent. He glared down upon his enemies, mirroring their contempt. The mirth of the dreadlords guttered in their throats. It ceased to resound among the rocks. Quiet fell upon the ranks of the huge army. Only the sputtering of the molten skins of the infernals broke the silence. The leader of the dreadlords swept down his raised fist. A gigantic meteor dropped from the sky. A thunderclap boomed. The sound echoed over the site of the coming battle and made the air vibrate. Vendel was glad to be in the cover of the rocks. So far, none of the demons had noticed him. He felt their malice rolling toward him a fog of unleashed hatred and evil that somehow congealed out of the magic in the air. "Join them," the demon voice whispered inside him. "Join them, and you will be rewarded as no soul in the history of the cosmos has been rewarded." He felt the temptation. The demon was telling the truth as it understood it. He touched the hilts of his rune-encrusted blades. It would be the simplest of actions to plunge them into Illidan's back. Was he not the betrayer? Had ever an elf in history been more deserving of death? "Slay him," his demon whispered. "Slay Illidan and achieve eternal glory. Slay the betrayer and become a dark god." The sound of the thunderclap faded as the army of the Nathrezim advanced. The great meteor hit the ground, shaking the earth, disgorging a gigantic, blazing infernal. It pulled itself out of the impact crater and lumbered forward along with the rest of the Dreadlord's army. Vendel felt the temptation rise within him. If he slaughtered Illidan, he would be welcomed by his demonic kindred. He could put his mortality behind him forever, live untroubled by fear and regret. He could bury all traces of guilt about failing his family, all remorse, any semblance of kinship with these weak, frail creatures of flesh and blood. He could transcend what he was, join the Burning Legion, and become a conqueror, cleansing the universe of the foul disease of life. He could help bring creation crashing down so that a new universe could be born, one shaped in his image by his desires. For a moment he wavered. He listened to the voice of his inner demon and realized that it was his own. His soul had been tainted when he devoured the Fellhound. It had absorbed the demon's evil and been twisted. There was really no other demon than himself. To give in to the voice of temptation would be to forswear his quest for vengeance and break faith with his dead wife and child. He did not want to kill Illidan. He wanted to kill the things that had made Illidan into what he was. He understood now, as he never had before, what the betrayer stood for because of what he stood against. For all his gigantic flaws, Illidan was the only being who really grasped what they fought, and he was prepared to do whatever it took to end the threat. He might well be mad, his schemes might well be doomed to failure, but he was better than the alternative. The demons of the Legion advanced toward the ridge. It was time to do battle with the real enemy. The army of the Nathrezim moved upslope. A mortal force would have been slowed by the effort, but they seemed tireless. Fellhounds loped ahead, infernals lumbered in their wake, scores of gigantic, winged dreadlords bellowed orders to their followers. "Now," the thunderous voice spoke within Vandel's head, and it was Illidan's. As one, the demon hunters emerged from their cover and raced down toward their prey. For a moment, the Legion's army slowed, as if unable to comprehend the fact that it was being attacked by this much smaller force of smaller beings. One or two of the dreadlords laughed again. With a roar, like the ocean throwing itself against the rocks, the two armies collided. The demons wanted to reach the portal and close it. The demon hunters wanted only to slay, and slay, and slay. A fellhound leapt at Vandel. Shark-like teeth gaped. He invoked his power and sent a bolt of greenish-yellow energy into its maw. The demon's head exploded. Chunks of flesh fell to the ground, charred and smoking. Resisting the temptation to feast, Vandel launched himself forward, daggers clearing their sheaths. He rolled between two monstrous Moarg servitors, hamstrung them before they could bring their weapons to bear, flipped to his feet, and smashed his dagger through the eye socket of first one, then the other. A moment later he confronted a dreadlord. The creature loomed over him, twice his height, broader than an ogre, and even stronger. The dreadlord brought a massive spiked mace, smashing into the ground as Vandel jumped aside. Rock splintered, clouds of green dust rose, glittering into the air. Vandel picked himself up. His foe buffeted him with a bat-like wing. The force of the blow made his head ring, sent him hurtling back toward a massive boulder. He flipped himself over so that his feet made contact with the rock first, and then he sprang forward, bouncing away from the impact, and rolling to a stand. The Dreadlord turned with surprising quickness for a creature of his enormous bulk and lumbered toward him. Vandel raised his hand and sent a fell bolt slashing toward the demon. A wing curled around his opponent's body. The bolt ripped through the appendage, leaving it hanging like a tattered cloak from the Dreadlord's side. The monster did not even seem to have slowed. From the periphery of his vision, Vandel saw Syana dispatch another Moarg servitor, then leap over the corpse to engage a fell guard. A blaze of light from his right warned him, and he sprang into the air just as an imp's firebolt passed beneath him. He twisted to avoid descending into the jet of flame, and found himself looking up at the massive, polished hoof of the wounded Dreadlord. It stamped down, missing him. He lashed out with his dagger, catching his opponent behind the knee, and drawing forth what might have been a grunt of pain or contempt. The creature smashed down with his mace and caught Vandel on the shoulder. When he had been mortal, the blow would have killed him, smashing broken ribs through heart and lung. He rolled with the impact, riding the force of the strike. As he did so, he repaid the imp who had blasted him, hitting the demon with a fell bolt that turned the cackling little monster into a pool of bubbling slime. Vandel sprang upward, embedding his left-hand dagger in the Dreadlord's breastplate, using it to pull himself up until he could drive his other weapon through the demon's eye. The creature clutched at the socket, attempting to swat him, but Vandel had already drawn the blade clear and driven it through the other eye. He dropped to the ground and unleashed a flurry of blows on the blinded monster. Doubtless the demon could, given time, sense Vandel the way he sensed him, using magic, but for those few crucial instants, the creature might as well have been blind. Vandel took advantage to stab his blades again and again into the Dreadlord. The magic on the daggers cut his flesh, leaving rotting wounds that would not heal. Blades grated on bone, sawed through tendon, parted muscle with the sound of a butcher's cleaver going into a steer's carcass. The demon gave up trying to strike him and tried to lumber away, flapping his huge wings. Because of the earlier damage, he could only remain on the ground while Vandel carved him to pieces. Cruelty drove Vandel's hand. Every blow that went home gave him sick satisfaction, and he knew the thing within him was feeding on the Dreadlord's death. At that moment, he no longer cared. The demon's desires were aligned with his own. It did not matter if he made it stronger. Right now he could use its strength, and right now he knew that it took just as much satisfaction from the killing as he did. When finally he had reduced the Dreadlord to a pile of skinned flesh, it occurred to him that he had wasted valuable time. There was more prey to be had, and he needed to claim his share. Needle sat nearby, astride the torso of a fallen fell guard, casually punching his foot-long needles again and again into the demon's open chest plate as if he were trying to stitch it together. Elarisiel chased a fellhound around a rock before putting it out of its misery. Over by a huge boulder, a group of dreadlords made a last stand. They looked more bemused than afraid, as if they could not quite grasp what was happening around them. It was clear that the battle had not gone as they had expected. The demon hunters had gone through their army like a sharp scythe through wheat. Everywhere the corpses of demons sprawled. There were several elf bodies too, but far fewer than Vandel would have expected, given the sizes of the respective forces. Illidan landed atop the rock behind the remaining dreadlords. Vandel wondered whether the Lord of Outland intended to take a hand in their destruction, but he simply stood there, watching. The demon hunters slowly rose from what they were doing and stared at their overlord, and then at the dreadlords. The demons braced themselves as a tide of fighters surged forward and engulfed them. Illidan watched his forces drag down the last of the Nathrezim. His doubts had disappeared. The demon hunters had exceeded his expectations. Of course, they had possessed the advantage of surprise. The Dreadlords had not expected to encounter such savage power so close to their home, and overconfidently had marched to meet them. Things would not always be so easy. Nonetheless, nothing could damp the sweet feeling of triumph. Every dreadlord who fell here would be one who no longer troubled the universe. In this place, at this time, they would die permanently. How long had it taken Illidan to realize that secret? How many times had he fruitlessly thought he had slain his enemies? His visions had shown him the answer. During his millennia-long imprisonment, he could do nothing with them. But now, things had changed. He would make the lords of the Burning Legion suffer, as they had made others suffer. He counted his own dead, less than a score. At this point, each was a loss he could barely afford, but soon there would be more demon hunters. The Legion had sown dragon's teeth among his people. There was no shortage of those who sought vengeance against the demons. But that was a problem for another day. Now he had to get what he had come here for. Time was of the essence. The force they had encountered was the tiniest fraction of the tiniest fraction of what the Burning Legion could deploy. As soon as they realized what had happened, the masters of the city would summon aid. He needed to be gone from here before that occurred. No matter how powerful his individual fighters were, they could still be overcome by enough enemies. He gave the signal to advance. The demon hunters moved quickly through the Nethrazim city. Great obsidian towers reflected the green light of fell magic all around them. Streets of shining black shimmered in their glow. More and more demons surrounded them, stragglers or those left behind by the army to hold important posts. The Illidari overwhelmed any they encountered, like hounds pulling down a rabbit. Not even the mightiest dreadlord was a match for so many. Illidan resisted the urge to join in the fray. Opening the portal had drained a good deal of his power. He was husbanding what was left in case any unexpected threat emerged. Ahead of him loomed the tallest tower, the great archive of the dreadlords. Within this building lay all the countless secrets the Nathrazim had obtained during their service to Sargeras. Hulking Felguard flanked an entrance that shimmered and vanished, closing off the tower to intruders. Tattooed fighters dragged the demons down, then stood before where the doorway once was, baffled. What had been an empty archway mere heartbeats before was now a wall of stone. "Blast it," Illidan ordered. There was no doubt an easier way of opening the doorway, but he did not have time to uncover the magical key. The demon hunters raised their hands and sent fell flame licking toward the barrier. Hundreds of bolts smashed, scoured, and scratched the stone, but still it withstood the assault. "Concentrate on one area," Illidan shouted, and all the bolts converged at the center of the stone, drilling through it until finally the rock splintered and collapsed into a heap of rubble. Illidan sprang over it and glimpsed a long ramp leading down into the depths below the tower. So far, all was as he recalled from his memories of Gul'dan's visions. He smiled to himself as a score of Illidari sprang over the stones and fanned out into the interior of the building, scouting the way ahead. "Down," Illidan ordered them, and they took the ramp leading down. Strange lights moved in the floor as if triggered by their steps. The air pulsed with sorcery, currents of energy woven into potent spells by the magic of the Nathrazim. Power shimmered in the air and thrummed beneath his hooves. Complex engines of magic all around drew on the energy that permeated everything on this strange world. He was close now. So close. Chapter 19. 3 months before the fall. "Die, desecrator!" the Moarg servitor shouted as he sprang forward to attack. The demon raised the barrel of his odd weapon. Magical flame sputtered. Illidan decapitated the squat armored creature with a casual backhand stroke of his warglaive as he entered the central archive of the Dreadlords. Over everything loomed glittering towers built of countless obsidian discs, layered together like stacks of coins. Each one of those discs was a record. One of them was what he sought. He turned to the demon hunters who stood in the entrance of the huge chamber, waiting his command. "Do not enter. Hold this doorway. no matter what happens in the next 5 minutes. They nodded acquiescence, and Illidan turned once more to face the stacks. He crossed his arms on his chest and wove a spell. Tendrils of magic flashed from his hands to the towers of stacked discs. As they connected, he caught flashes of imagery, splinters of knowledge. This was the monument of the Dreadlords, the heart of their world. It recorded every triumph, every conquest, and every plot. Nathrezim schemed to have their names imprinted here. It was the living memory of their race. Here were records of innumerable campaigns fought on countless worlds. Here were the names of long-forgotten traitors who had betrayed their homes to the Legion and were in turn betrayed by the demons. Here was knowledge of every portal the Legion had ever passed through, the names and locations of every world it had ever burned. There was a system to it. It was organized almost chronologically, the oldest discs on the bottom of each stack. The stacks closest to the center were the oldest of these. Illidan sent tendrils of energy racing to the middle. What he wanted would be located very near the core. The images that flashed into his mind reeked of age. He was looking at things that were old even as demons reckoned time. A sense of urgency pushed at him. Somewhere in the distance, gates were opening. The Nathrezim were responding to the invasion of their home world. He became aware of the sounds of fighting. They came from what seemed like a great distance, but he knew this was because of the spell linking him to the archive. His forces were engaged with enemy reinforcements flooding in from the city above. He prayed they could hold them until his work was completed. He needed to finish quickly, or this library would become a trap, and his army would be overwhelmed by the massed strength of the Nathrezim. He took a deep breath and slowed his pulse. It would not do to make a mistake here, so close to the culmination of everything he had planned for. He could not afford to fail. There, he found the first ward, a complex spell, almost undetectable. It had been set to warn of anyone tampering with these records and rewriting history. He was not concerned with any such subtlety. He just needed the specific record he was searching for, and then he would be gone. He smashed the spell aside and felt an immediate response as defensive runes flared to life. He sensed portals opening around him. An enormous fell guard shimmered into being among the stacks, a pulse of magical energy, loud as thunder and clear as a bell to anyone with the senses to hear it, rang out. From the distance came multiple responses. The Nathrezim would know exactly where he was now. He stepped forward as the fell guard aimed a blow at him. His warglaive lashed out and cut the demon in half. More fell guard materialized around him. Illidan cut them down, but more and more materialized with every heartbeat. He gazed around him with his spectral sight, looking for the pattern of the defenses, finding them inscribed around the base of each pillar of discs. Each was connected to one of three master sigils around the central pillar. He aimed one of his warglaives at the nearest and threw. His weapon whirled through the air and scoured the stone, breaking part of the spell. The blade bounced off the pillar and returned to his hand. The onrush of fell guard slackened as the portals connected to the destroyed rune collapsed. Illidan sprang forward, moving around the pillar as the demons pursued him. Ahead lay another glowing sigil in the floor. He cut down two fell guard, slid forward, powering himself with his wings, and defaced the rune with his blades, then moved toward the last of the master wards. The remaining fell guard bunched around the third glowing sigil. He sprang into the air, gained height, and swooped down on them. His blades sang as he chopped through the demonic ranks, ducking their axe strokes, evading their attempts to grip him. He drove his blade right into the center of the runic pattern, disrupting it. A massive backwash of energy pushed him into the air. The demons howled their frustration, but the gateways through which they had come collapsed. Now he had to deal with only those who had already passed through. There would be no more reinforcements. Once more he dived amid the demons, scattering them with the force of his flying charge. His blades decapitated some and left others limbless. He came to rest beside the central pillar. he stood next to his goal for all these long centuries. Extending one hand, he invoked his spell of seeking once more. Images flooded his mind as tendrils of force touched the discs. One in particular, the Seal of Argus, drew him. Potent images overlaid it, the aura of beings he had encountered in the past and would never forget. Archimonde and Kil'jaeden, the two mightiest lieutenants of Sargeras, true master of the Burning Legion. Their psychic stench was so strong it threatened to overwhelm even his prepared mind. He felt the brutal fury of Archimonde and the subtle, intricate mind of Kil'jaeden. Even though he knew they were not present, it was all he could do to keep from lashing out as if surrounded by deadly foes. With a mighty heave of his muscles, he tore the disc from the tower. The stack tottered but did not fall. He spoke the words of another spell, and the disc floated in the air behind him, slowly orbiting his form, the runes on its surface glowing with sinister greenish-yellow light. A grim smile twisted Illidan's lips. He would give the Nathrezim something to remember him by. He drew on all his strength and scoured the Tower of Records with one of the warglaives of Azinoth. The smell of ozone and brimstone filled the air as sparks of magical energy discharged. Rising into the air, Illidan defaced the pillars, damaging the weaving of spells, smashing the records of which the Dreadlords was so proud. Demonic glee pulsed through his mind at the thought of their fury. Part of him mourned the loss of so much knowledge. Part of him believed that no record of the Dreadlords should be allowed to remain. They deserved no monument. From the entrance came the sounds of fighting as his demon hunters sought to keep their resurgent enemy at bay. He swooped down into the combat, landed on the back of one Dreadlord, and parted the demon's head from his shoulders with a single blow. "To me, my soldiers," he shouted. "It is time to leave this foul place. We have gotten what we came for." They battled their way back to the portal. All around, Illidan sensed the opening of more gateways as the hosts of the Burning Legion poured reinforcements in. It seemed they had not yet realized what was happening and were responding piecemeal. Sometime soon, a leader would take charge and then things would become difficult. They needed to leave this world before that happened. Vandel slashed at a demonic Moag servitor as the creature aimed a blast of flame from some engine he wore on his back. Companies of imps poured fire down on them from on high. They occupied the ridgelines. "Varedis, take a company and clear those ridges," Illidan ordered. The demon hunter nodded and gestured, and he and his forces bounded up the hillside, cartwheeling and somersaulting through the gouts of flame. The demons shrieked and gibbered foul insults in their tongue, and then turned to flee. Ahead loomed a pack of void walkers, floating over the battlefield, legless, armored, and gleaming black. They were tough but slow. "Go around them," Illidan ordered. "Make your way to the portal." He paused to glance around. His force had taken casualties during the battle in the archive, and even now attrition stalked them. He saw Elarisiel go down and hacked his way to her side. Vandel was already there, helping her to her feet. Illidan nodded his approval. He wanted no one left behind, if possible. The wounded could be healed. Those too wounded to be moved, he put out of their misery. Ahead of them, the portal to Outland blazed. There were signs of conflict there. The Legion's forces had moved to secure the gate, intending to cut off their retreat. In accordance with his orders, his own army on Outland had not moved through, but remained in place to guard the way out. "Form up into a wedge," he ordered. "We are going to cut our way free." His demon hunters shouted their approval and charged. In battle they looked every bit as demonic as their foes, lithe, tattooed forms marked by scars and mutations, some surrounded by integuments of shadow, some wielding fell magic as easily as any spawn of the twisting nether. For a moment the demons held. Then they were down, and the portal was ahead of Illidan's forces. He ordered them through and then turned. In the distance, the glare of gigantic gateways opening filled the darkness. Over the ridges poured demonic fighter after demonic fighter. He looked at them and laughed. Let them come. He had found what he was looking for. They were too late to stop him. He stepped through the portal. Already the demon hunters were racing clear of it to join the rest of his army on Outland. Illidan took one last look at the battleground in Athrazar, sensed none of his troops alive out there, and spoke the words of unbinding. The gateway unraveled in a furious discharge of energy, all the backblast directed into the Nathrezim homeworld. It was his final gift to them, a surge of explosive energy that could tear apart a continent. He prayed that on the other side of the gate, the Dreadlord commanders were assembled. He had inflicted the greatest defeat that the Burning Legion had suffered in millennia, and he was pleased. Illidan watched the last remnants of the portal's energies collapse behind him. He looked at his army and wondered if there were any spies among it. Almost certainly it was the case. He considered the events of the day, and his mouth twisted into a wide grin. Today had been the first unalloyed triumph he had experienced in many a long century. He had captured Maiev. He had invaded the realm of the Dreadlords and acquired their most closely kept secret. He had destroyed the armies they had sent to protect their homeworld. If his calculations were correct, he had shattered Nathrezar as Ner'zhul's magic had shattered Draenor. He gazed upon the watchful, expectant faces of his troops. His magically amplified voice boomed out over the ranks of assembled fighters. Today we have struck a blow against the Burning Legion, the like of which has not been felt in 10,000 years. We have slaughtered dreadlords and ravaged their world. We have shown them that they are not immune to our vengeance, that they will be brought to justice and made to atone for their deeds. Approval rippled through the ranks of the demon hunters as the realization of what they had done settled into their minds. They had been concentrating only on fighting and survival. Now they began to feel their triumph in their bones. Smiles appeared on faces whose owners had never expected to smile again. For a moment, demonic rage vanished, to be replaced with something almost like calm. We have slain thousands and lured their armies into a trap that killed 100 times that number. And we have this. He brandished the disc he had taken from the archives, held it aloft with both hands so that it caught the light and sparkled. The demon hunters and the sorcerers present could all see the power it contained. The sensitive among them could catch a faint whiff of the auras permeating it, even at the distance they stood from him. There might be spies present, he told himself, but glee loosened his tongue. We have found the key to the homeworld of Kil'jaeden and Archimonde, to a place where the Legion's commanders can be finally slain. We have uncovered the location of Argus. The Legion has destroyed world after world, enslaved and massacred nation after nation. Now it will reap what it has sown. Today we have slaughtered the Nathrezim, and that is only the first step. Today we put our feet on the path to ultimate victory. Today we found the means to cut off the head that guides our foe. We are taking the war to Kil'jaeden. We are going to teach him the meaning of defeat. Let there be spies present, Illidan thought. Let them report that to the Burning Legion. Let them think about what I have done this day, and tremble. Chapter 20, 3 months before the fall. Maiev woke. She ached, as she had every one of the days since she had found herself in this place. She was somewhere deep underground. Nearby she could hear water drip. The air held the brimstone taint of demons and the unwashed smell of broken. She rose to her feet and tested the bars of her cage once more. They had not become any weaker since the previous day. They had been forged to hold something with the power of a pit lord, and then they had been reinforced with layers of runes and spells. She inspected the runes about her. There were spells of nourishment and restoration. She could not starve herself to death. Any wounds she inflicted on her own body were healed as swiftly as she might make them. She well knew this type of spell. It was similar to the ones used to imprison Illidan. She had discovered this when she had attempted to batter her way out with her bare hands. She had struck the blows in impatient fury, the pain goading her on, even as her bones healed, knitting back together as quickly as her flesh had rent. She suspected that the spells would bring her back from death if she found some way of killing herself. Her spirit was bound here. There was no way to set it free unless her captors willed it. At first, she had expected the betrayer to appear at any moment to begin tormenting her, but he had not done so. He was too busy to claim his vengeance, or, more likely, he was just allowing her horror to mount in anticipation of his arrival. He was certainly capable of such mental cruelty. There had been no shortage of petty torments from her guards. She had been spat upon, poked with sharp sticks, and given food in which the ash tongue had urinated. Demons had mocked her with words that flayed like knives. A spectacularly arrogant dreadlord named Vagath had explained in great detail exactly what tortures he was going to inflict on her when the order came. She had endured all the slights with calm, unwilling to give her tormentors any satisfaction. So far, it seemed, they had been ordered against any worse abuse by Illidan himself. He wanted no one taking vengeance before he did. There were other torments, hot days on which she went without water, days when she had been given no food and her stomach had growled like an angry nightsaber. The spells kept her going, would not allow her to die, but they did not relieve her from thirst or hunger. And she inflicted worse torments on herself. She had led those who had trusted her to their doom. In seeking her vengeance on Illidan, she had caused the deaths of Anindra and Sarius and all the others who had placed their faith in her leadership. She told herself they had done so voluntarily, but it did not help. When she lay awake, she could see their faces and they gave her looks full of reproach. In her dreams, she saw them die again and again. She cursed all of those who had refused to help, the Naru, the Uldor, Arakron in Telar. If they had listened to her, none of this would have happened, and the betrayer would be where he deserved to be, imprisoned once more, or in his grave. It gave her no relief. She knew whose will it was that had driven the crusade against the betrayer. She knew whom the others had put their faith in. She had let them down. She could try to blame whomever she liked, but at the end of the day, she had to take responsibility for her own failure. Perhaps that was the worst injury of all. She had failed. Illidan was not only free, but stronger than he had ever been. It galled her worse than poison, worse than hunger, worse than torture. Illidan was free, and there was nothing she could do about it. She was doomed to stay in this cage, helpless, until he chose to take her life. It was being made clear to her that she lived or died entirely at his whim. Now he was ignoring her, letting her know how insignificant she was in the great scheme of things. There were times when she hoped that some of her force had escaped and would come free her, and there were times when she despaired of it. Even if a few had made it clear of the ambush, why would they come back for the leader who had led their comrades to their deaths? She had filled their heads with tales of victory and glory, and their reward had been defeat. She knew, though, that no one was coming. All her troops were dead. She had seen them fall. She cursed Akama once more. She had believed in the faithless leader of the Ashtongue faction. He had convinced her that he hated Illidan as much as she did, and that he had as much reason to want the betrayer's downfall. How he must be laughing now at the way he had deceived her, at the way in which she had believed his lies. She cursed the memory of their every meeting. When had the betrayal started, and why had she not spotted it? Had he planned this from the beginning, back when they first met in Orobor Harborage? Even then, were he and Illidan laughing at the way she was being led to her doom? She refused to believe that she could be so easily gulled. Akama must have meant some of what he said. His resentment of what the betrayer had done to the Temple of Kerabor was real enough. Looking back, she could see there was a moment when he had changed. At their last meeting in Orobor Harborage, He had seemed even more aged, weaker, and listless. Perhaps he had been finally unmasked, captured, tortured. Perhaps Illidan had used some powerful binding spell on him. Or perhaps Illidan had simply made him a better offer, promised him something his venal soul could not resist. The betrayer could be persuasive and cloak his malice in honeyed words. What could he possibly have offered the broken? No. Unless she was much mistaken, Akama had been as surprised as she was at what had happened during the opening of the gate. He had spoken out against the ritual destruction of the broken souls, even at risk to his own life. Things were not quite as simple as she feared in the depths of her despair. It took her moments to realize that her guards had gone silent. Looking up, she saw why. Limping toward her, looking older and more tired than ever, was Akama. "Treacherous, oath-breaking dog," she said, as soon as the broken was within earshot. "I swore no oaths to you. I have Shadow Song," he said, his voice weary, "nor you to me." The guards listened intently. Akama gestured for them to stand back as he approached the cage. They did so, clearly daunted by his presence. "So you have managed to worm your way back into the betrayer's favor." "I am alive." "That is more than many of your people can claim," Akama winced and said, "or yours." Maiev kept her guilt from her face. "They died for the cause of bringing Illidan to justice, as I will." Akama gestured at the cage. His magic made the wards and spells shimmer in the air visible. "Look at where all your passion, hatred, and anger have brought you. Do you enjoy the view?"
"At least I did not stand by and watch my own people being slaughtered."
Akama considered his words for a moment and then said,
"But slaughtered they were, because of where you led them."
It was Maiev's turn to flinch. She could not control her movements perfectly. Imprisonment was affecting her. "They gave their lives for what they believed in. Will anyone ever be able to say the same of you?"
"I was given a hard choice. I will live with it. You of all people should know how that is."
"You chose to spare your own life and give away the lives of those who trusted you." Maiev could not keep the bitterness from her voice.
"You have no idea what was done to me. Illidan ripped part of my soul from my body and bound it with magic. If he chooses to, he can unleash it, and it will devour me."
I have wondered if that was true. If it was, it would explain much. Perhaps it was just another lie. "I do not need to hear your self-pity." Akama remained silent for many heartbeats. When he spoke, his voice was gentle.
"It was not just my life that was at risk. All of my people's lives were as well. The betrayer is as ruthless as he is powerful."
"So you chose to throw away our chance of overthrowing him?"
"We never had a chance. Not then."
"So you think you have a better chance now?" Akama paused, his mouth opened. He seemed to be on the verge of saying something. Then he licked his lips and shook his head, almost imperceptibly.
"You have no conception of how strong Illidan has become. I saw him work sorcery that I would not have believed possible for anyone less than a god. He opened a portal clear across the cosmos."
Maiev thought she detected an off-note in Akama's voice. He was afraid of being overheard. Were they being watched? She would have to assume that they were. Was it possible he still schemed against the betrayer and somehow believed that she had a place in those schemes? "And why do you think he did this?"
"He has returned, having slaughtered an army of demons, perhaps killed a world full of them. So he claimed when he came back through the portal."
"And you believe him?"
"I believe that Illidan truly hates the Nethrezim, that he hates all of the Burning Legion."
Did she hear doubt in his voice? Was Akama merely an actor mouthing a script in order to avoid having suspicion fall on him? "Why are you here? Did you come to gloat?"
"I am here to make sure you are well. Lord Illidan wants to be certain of that. He has plans for you."
Maiev's mouth went dry, and her heart hammered within her chest. She could imagine exactly what sort of plans the betrayer had for her. She was being kept alive and in good health for a reason, and it was not a pleasant one. Illidan intended to make her pay for his long imprisonment. She forced the thought down. She would face any torture when it came. She would not give her captors the satisfaction of seeing her afraid. "And he is testing you," she said. This time she allowed mockery to show in her voice. "He does not trust you."
"I doubt he trusts anybody," Akama said. "If you were he, would you?"
"I would never be like him."
"You are more like him than you can possibly know. You are just as ruthless and just as obsessed. You sacrificed your friends without a second thought when it suited your purpose. You sacrificed the lives of all your followers."
Maiev wanted to strike him, but the bars restrained her. She glared at his lined face and said, "I do not accept your judgments, Akama. I've learned not to trust anything you say."
"You can tell yourself that if you like. But look into your heart, and you will see my words are true."
She grasped the bars as if she could somehow twist them out of shape and make her way through to him. Akama laughed.
"You are still strong. That is good. You will need that strength in the days to come."
"I am not frightened by your threats, old one."
"You think that was a threat? Consider this, Maiev Shadowsoul. Lord Illidan is not the only one who has plans for you."
"What do you mean by that?"
"I, too, have plans."
Once again there was an ambiguous note in Akama's voice. Was this a veiled threat, or was it meant to sound like one while communicating something else? "I want no part of any of your schemes, treacherous one," Maiev said, hoping to draw him out.
"You may have no choice before this is over."
Akama turned and limped away. Despite herself, Maiev was sorry to watch him go. This was the closest thing she had had to a conversation since she had woken in captivity. And Akama was at least a familiar face. She wondered if this was what she was supposed to think, if it was all part of some subtle plan of the betrayers to wear her down. If it was, there was nothing she could do about it now. She just had to endure, be patient, and gather her strength. She had nothing else now but time. She swore she would find a way to make the betrayer pay for all the deaths he had caused. Akama, too, when the moment came. She had begun to work out the composition of a spell that would help her trap Illidan. She would test it if ever she won her freedom. Chapter 21. 2 months before the fall. The harsh sun blazed down on the parched earth of Hellfire Peninsula, drying the blood almost as soon as it fell. Vendel chopped down the last of the demons, then walked over to retrieve his dagger from the eye of the one he had slain with a throw. Looking around, he could see they had achieved their objective. Lord Illidan stood beside the palanquins the demons had fought so hard to protect, arms folded across his chest, wings spread wide in triumph. The corpses of demons lay everywhere, slaughtered by the Illidari. Vandel's demon whispered hungrily in his mind. He fought the urge to gulp down demon flesh, and instead climbed up a huge boulder and studied the battleground. He nodded at one of the new crop of demon hunters who had joined the ranks since the battle with the Nathrezim. In the month since, they had almost replaced the casualties of that great battle in the archive of the Dreadlords. They had lost more soldiers since that battle. It sometimes seemed that in the weeks that followed, they had never stopped fighting. That was not quite true. There had been a period when Illidan had retreated within his sanctum to consider his next move. For days, they had done nothing but train and oversee the new recruits. Then the betrayer had emerged with a new plan, and they had spent almost all their time in lightning raids against the Burning Legion. They must have fought a score of battles. They had attacked forge camps in Nagrand and ambushed convoys passing through the Netherstorm. Time and again, they had intercepted forces passing through Hellfire Peninsula. Some of the fights had been to close down portals the Legion opened into Outland. The logic of that was clear. No doubt the masters of the Burning Legion thirsted for vengeance against Illidan. Their incursions had become ever more numerous, their forces ever stronger. That had not been all of it, though. Some new portals had been opened into places Vandel recognized in Azeroth. Winter Spring and Ajara. Illidan had insisted that the demon hunters close those and claim certain magical crystals used in their creation. He said the Legion had been launching invasions into Azeroth from Outland, and this needed to be stopped. It was clear that the demons were planning another great assault. Not all of their gates could be closed. They had established mighty beachheads in the Blade's Edge Mountains and on the very edges of Nagrand. From what Vandel had overheard, there were more forge camps Illidan's forces had never seen, and perhaps were never likely to. It was equally clear that Lord Illidan was seeking materials to create something. If forced to make a guess, Vandel would have said he was collecting components for another gateway, such as the one he had opened to Nathrezar. Vandel had heard some of the others, the ones knowledgeable about such things, mention this, and it seemed as good a theory as any. Vandel would not have been surprised to discover that they would find more of the crystals in the metal coffins this force had been escorting, along with other pieces of magical equipment that could be scavenged. Since his memorable speech after the battle, Lord Illidan had not seen fit to enlighten them any further as to his ultimate plan. He had merely dispatched them hither and yon to strike at the Legion, sometimes leading them himself, sometimes letting Elaresiel or Vandel take charge. There was no rhyme or reason to Illidan accompanying them. Sometimes the battles he led them into were little more than slaughters of fell orcs, still loyal to the Burning Legion. Sometimes he was not with them when they faced their toughest opposition. Rumor had it that he worked strange rituals when the stars were right, that he was creating some work of sorcery that would lead them to inevitable victory. Below, Illidan studied the remains of the palanquins they had ambushed. Each of the coffins had been borne by half a dozen demonic servitors, and each of them now lay in the dust, their gleaming metallic sides losing their luster. Before Illidan, a fellorc hovered in the air, one of the Legion's soldiers bound by the betrayer's magic. Vandel vaulted down the rocks, leaping from boulder to boulder, passing over precipices where the slightest misstep would send him plunging to his doom. He hit the ground rolling, sprang to his feet, and strode over to Lord Illidan's side. "Anything to report, Night Stalker?" the betrayer asked. As ever, he seemed to know that Vandel was there without having to look. It was less disconcerting now that Vandel knew how the trick was done and could do it himself. "The perimeters are secure, Lord, and we do not appear to be under immediate threat." "I would not be too sure of that if I were you," Illidan said. "Lord, I think the Burning Legion has finally worked out what I am doing." "How would they do that, Lord?" "Perhaps they have spies left in our ranks. Only one of these canisters contains the hellstones I seek. The rest are filled with rocks."
"How can you tell?"
"Use the sight the ritual gave you." Vandel concentrated on the metal cylinders and saw immediately what his overlord had meant. One of them blazed with contained energy, as if filled to the brim with scintillant crystals. The others did not burn nearly so bright. They contained no trapped, magical energy that Illidan could use for whatever it was he planned. As if to prove his point, Illidan leaned forward and wrenched one open. Glittering gemstones rolled out, but so did a number of glassy shards. One who did not possess the spectral sight of a demon hunter might have been fooled, but one who could see the presence of magic itself was not deceived.
"You think this is a trap, then?"
"Possibly, or merely a deception intended to lure us to a different place while the real cargo goes by another route. I think this High Lord Kool I have been hearing so much about is cleverer than the Legion's former field commanders."
"Who is he?" Vandel asked.
"Let us find out," Illidan said. He turned to the fellorc, who floated in the air, wrapped in chains of energy, his face twisted into a defiant sneer. "I know you, betrayer. You are well named. If I had a copper for every time I've heard that, I could build a tower of coins to the nearest moon," Illidan said. "I wish my enemies could come up with something more original." The fell orc tried to spit at Illidan, but his saliva sizzled and evaporated when it hit an energy chain. "Tell me of High Lord Krul," Illidan said. "I would know more of your new general."
"I will tell you nothing," said the fell orc. "I do not fear any torture you can inflict."
"As you wish." Illidan gestured. Magical energy surged from his outstretched hands to the fell orc's head. The chains pulsed brighter. The fell orc screamed. His spirit departed, leaving only a shell. Vandel could see that. Illidan said, "Tell me of High Lord Krul." The corpse opened its mouth and laughed.
"No need, betrayer. No need. He approaches. Ask him yourself."
Magical energy pulsed from within the metal cylinders, visible as light to Vandel's altered vision. It swirled into the air, forming a shimmering vortex. A moment later, a portal sprang into being where the power coalesced. A blast of furnace-like heat filled the air, driving the Illidari back and incinerating the fell orc's corpse. An enormous figure emerged, flanked by two blazing infernals. He looked like a Doomguard, Vandel thought, but larger. He had horns like a tauren, massive, bison-like. Huge wings draped his back. Yellow demonic runes glared on his bracers. In his right hand he clutched a gigantic black blade on which runes pulsed in subdued blue. The sword looked large enough to take down an Ashenvale oak with one swipe.
"So, you are the one who defeated Magtheridan," the demon said. "You don't look like much."
His voice boomed brazenly over the battlefield. Flames trailed behind him when he walked, as if the very ground could not bear the touch of his hooves without combusting in fear. It said something of Krul's confidence that he was prepared to face an army of demon hunters only with his infernal bodyguards. Looking at him, Vandel judged his self-assurance justified. He blazed with power. Currents of potent magic swirled around him.
"And you look like just another Doomguard," Illidan said. "Have you come to see if you can get vengeance for the doom of your brethren's homeworld?"
Krul's laughter rang out.
"That was well done. Destruction wreaked upon the destroyers. But no, I have not come to seek vengeance. I have come to kill you."
Illidan unsheathed his war glaives.
"Others have tried. I shall pen you beside Magtheridan and use your blood to build my armies." "My blood would burn your little pets. You would only have charred husks to serve you."
As the gigantic Doomguard spoke, more and more infernals poured through the portal. Their skin blazed with searing heat. They seemed to grow stronger in Krul's presence. In the hills around them, Vandel sensed the Illidari moving into position. They were ready to attack.
"I have charted the portals you have been opening," Illidan said. "You have been busy. Ironforge, Stormwind City, Orgrimmar, Silithus, the Plaguelands. You seek to invade Azeroth once more, do you not?"
High Lord Krul merely bared his massive teeth.
"And I have studied your reaving of our forces, and I see a pattern to it. You seek to build another gateway, don't you? Ah, but where is the question? I have heard of your boasting. Could it be you are truly mad enough to seek Argus?"
"Perhaps we will discuss this while I have you imprisoned in Hellfire Citadel."
"I fear that your time for discussion has run out."
Even as Krul spoke, a massive core hound appeared from the portal. Its red skin blazed with fire. Two heads emerged from its gigantic shoulders. Their monstrous jaws made those of a fell hound look feeble. Metallic armor encased its heavy shoulders and forelimbs. It bounded forward to attack, even as Krul sent a bolt of dark energy hurtling toward Illidan. The Lord of Outland leapt into the air and avoided it. It smashed into the rocks behind where he had stood. They turned to dust as if they had suffered a million years of erosion in a moment. Vandel found himself face to face with Krul's demonic pet. Its jaws gaped, lava bubbled within them. The infernals lumbered toward him. Vandel vaulted over the core hound. His feet briefly touched the hot metal of its armor. He propelled himself into the air before they had time to scorch. As he did so, he sent his own bolt of fell energy blazing down into the demon. It struck one of the heads and elicited a brief scream.